Welcome. This is ActiveSpirituality.life. It is a weekly forecast program with astrology and a guided meditation activation to help you make the most of your week. It's run by Pamela Cuccinelli, that's me, the astrologer, and Susie Mazzoli, Master Healer. We invite you to find out more about our individual work, Susie Mazzoli, susiemazzoli-healer.com, or InsightOasis.com for astrology. You can also find both of us at ActiveSpirituality.life, and we look forward to your joining us every week. Please share with your friends. Here we go.
Welcome, everyone. This is week 23 of 2023. Woohoo! And we are going to explore the week starting June the 5th. With our wonderful astrologer, Pamela Cuccinelli, and then I will be back for our meditation. This is a week that I'm very excited about. It's a week where I am in retreat with some of my most special Buddhist teachers. So I hope that this is going to be a very important spiritual week for everyone. Pam, what's in store?
So we start with June 5th, Monday, and the times I give are Eastern time. So adjust, please, depending on where you're listening to this. And it starts out with that moon in Sag. We're in the waning moon cycle now. And to Susie's point, it's this week is when we're in a waning moon cycle, it doesn't mean that things can't start or we move into new horizons or new projects. But it does mean that the overall momentum is more about wrapping up, going within, follow through, doing things that have to do with that sense of returning or delving into. So depending on what your week looks like, that can be supported by the lunar cycle, especially if you've done your work of clearing out the cloudiness of whatever. As I talked about the full moon last week, whatever might be like giving you these expectations, hopes, fantasies, desires that maybe aren't going to pan out with the certain candidates or ability that is before you. So we can use that dream, that goal, that possibility as a template. And over the course of this week, think more in terms of, well, what's more of a realistic footing for it? And not to say that I'm against going for something that's the big dream or goal. Absolutely, I'm not against that. But we want to aim for things that are within our realm of accomplishment. And that doesn't mean that something like world peace is not within our realm of accomplishment, but it starts within each of us. So we're not going to get a peaceful world unless we're peaceful within self, unless we're kind within self, kind within our interactions with other people. So the fifth, that moon in Sagittarius is void, and that's in the wee hours of the day. But it enters the sign of Capricorn at 3:31 a.m. So again, Eastern time zone, people are going to be sleeping through that. Or some people are, depending on their schedule. And once it enters the sign of Capricorn, now we're in very productive energy. And we're in energy that has to do with orchestrating or creating the architecture, the structure for how that dream pans out. So when I talk about things like unrealistic dreaming, it's thinking that that guy who I was in love with all those years ago is really going to come through or smell the coffee because he's just so amazing one day. You got to look at who you're working with. If you don't, you know, if he's not making overtures, if it's not starting to come together, then it probably never will. So we're in a couple of days where it's pretty much fish or cut bait. You know, it's like, what are you doing? What's realistic? What is going to happen? And when we're clear-eyed about that, what can be done, then so much gets done over the next couple of days. High productivity. Venus enters Leo for its little cycle through this, and that gives a little boost for creativity, glamour, fun, especially for fire air signs. And it can just be bring in overall playfulness and romance, which we may not have time for over the next couple of days because we're working on tasks that we want to bring to actual fruition or completion. And really, really strong push. So push it through Monday, Tuesday. And Tuesday is, I would say, the only danger of especially Tuesday is you want to know when to stop to rest. And so the more we can get done in the early hours and just kind of even say to ourselves, okay, rest is an important component of how everything happens, then that's just great. On Wednesday, the moon goes void, of course, at 12:40 a.m. So again, depending on your time clock, many of us may be sleeping. And then it enters Aquarius at 4:42 a.m., pre-dawn Eastern time, Wednesday. And once that happens, now energy is a little different because the moon in Aquarius is an air sign. It's fixed. It likes to do what it wants to do. And so it's very like, I am moving in this direction, or this is who I am, or this is what I want done. And it certainly can be productive. The piece that's important over the next couple of days is make sure, it's almost like Mercury's retrograde again, because for those of us who have a lot of air, especially Gemini, Aquarius, Libra, we may think everybody's on the same page, but they aren't necessarily on the same page. Write things down. People don't necessarily keep notebooks anymore. I know my friend Susie does. I certainly am old school, and I write and put things on the computer the whole bit. But write things down, put in memos, make sure you've got reminders set. Really important over the next couple of days so you don't lose yourself in whatever task is at hand and you forget or are not paying attention to something that needs more follow through, or it was an appointment. The other thing, main thing about Wednesday is have a very keen idea of what you want to accomplish, especially in the early part of the day. Because if you don't have a to-do list or things mapped out, a lot of things come up and we can get very scattered. That doesn't mean that we can't complete and do. It just means that by the end of the day, we can feel a little frustrated because tempers can be a little frayed in the late evening this day. And we don't want it to be something that we thought we were going to do, or, you know, aggravation itself or someone else. It's not a good feeling. So make sure that you prioritize on this day. And if you feel anger or frustration happening in the evening, either from you or people around you, find ways to, healthy ways to blow off steam. You don't want to engage, because conversations or what means to be said at this point in time isn't as clear as it could or should be. And this is true on Thursday the 8th, the conversation part, not the anger frustration part necessarily. And it's just really important to make sure everybody understands and parrot back, because it's otherwise we make mistakes because we assume or think things are clear. And that's not something that is productive ever, but especially over these 2 days. On Friday the 9th, the moon goes void, of course, at 12:24 a.m. And then it enters the sign of Pisces at 6:14 a.m. and sets up what to me is just a really delicious weekend. Moon in Pisces, you want to be near a body of water, something where you relax, whether you like to be in water or just gaze at it. It's just so healing and wonderful to be able to do that. Beautiful weekend for the arts, dance, music, theater, dress up, role play, romance. It's just good, 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 good. Susie mentioned meditation retreat. It's good for that too. I mean, the thing about when the moon is in the sign of Pisces, especially when it's sailing through the sky and it doesn't have any hard aspects, wow, it just really brings up the higher octave of love. And this particular weekend reinforces how we can work together. And I don't want to oversell this, but change the world. And changing the world always starts with each individual, how we approach things, how we problem solve, how we treat others, how we treat the animals. All these things are hugely important. I was at a party this week, and a younger guy who's back dating, which he's not very happy about, was talking about how it's so revelatory when he's with someone new who he's getting to know to kind of observe how she treats people in restaurants, people behind counters. To him, the essence is in how does someone treat people who are working in a store, bringing me coffee? Is there a sense of recognition that this is a human that deserves respect, or is there this kind of cavalier indifference? And to him, that's a real indication of who this person is and how much time he wants to spend with her, which is absolutely right. But it was just interesting to hear someone talk about how that had been for him the past few dates. Nah, this isn't gonna work. And he almost has it set up as a kind of test run thing, which is what I'm talking about with the moon in Pisces on this particular weekend. Most of us who have this sense of inclusiveness and connection are going to feel these exponential whoosh shifts over this weekend, where it's like every conversation seems to be profound or enriching, and it's absolutely delightful. So whether you're in retreat and just the only conversations you're having are with what goes on in your brain or heart, or you're with surrounded by a group of people doing some sort of activity, whether it's volunteer, artistic, entertainment, connection, it's a great weekend. The piece I love about it especially is that for me, this whole long passage of Neptune in Pisces has been, and we still have years to go through it, but Neptune, the planet which represents the highest octave of love, but also how we're all connected in this web of life, whether we're in denial of it or not. And so a lot of things that are heightened at this point in time, which some people have their head in the sand about, is the environment. And the environment is how we, of course, survive. But the other huge piece about it is water. Our planet, namely being watered, Neptune was the god of the sea. And so it symbolizes, among other things, universal unconsciousness. I mean, if you've ever been with a group of people, it can be I'm thinking of episodes in my life, being in a service in Alice Tully Hall, which isn't called that anymore. It's now Geffen Hall at Lincoln Center. But it was a spiritual service, and feeling like everybody, the thousands of people in the space, were in this magnified cocoon of love. Being at a memorial service where, again, I felt this overwhelming sense of everyone in the room was just totally connected. And we have the ability to do that in more situations than we know. So it's this wonderful connectivity that just feeds the soul. And I see this, so Neptune entered Pisces in 2011 and will be in Pisces, as I said, for another few years. And it's been this journey of, again, that highest octave of love, but also on the other side of the spectrum, this dissolving, this sense of losing oneself or being lost. And I think that's so indicated in what we see with people feeling, well, now they realize there's an epidemic of loneliness, which was exacerbated by the pandemic. So on the spectrum of total alienation, victimization, which is Neptune in Pisces, to the other side of it, which is we're all connected in this loving, wonderful energy that can absolutely change the world. Well, this weekend is a time to decide where you are on that spectrum and really sink into it. Let it be. Let it infuse you. Let it be your truth. So the moon goes void, of course, on Sunday the 11th at 9:20, and immediately enters Aries at 9:20 a.m. Totally shifts the energy. because now we're fire moon and we are cooking. So if you did your homework, emphasizing the higher octave of love, then we become a love warrior on Sunday and we aim towards what we're going to push out, push towards. Waning moon cycle still going to be meeting a lot of power struggles or personal demons possibly over the next couple of days, but operate from that place of love and connectivity. And now I turn it over to Susie.
Operating from love and connectivity.
Absolutely. There's my girl.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Thank you. And let's start our meditation. So part of our meditation really is contemplation. We're examining, thinking, meditating on certain things. So as we do this, we do it with a place of peace. We come into a nice, comfortable position and just allow ourselves to be present. Take a few deeper breaths. And as we do, just aware of how you feel right now, physically, mentally, emotionally. And we are so very, very, very used to being kind of wrapped up in ourselves, how we feel physically. I'm hot, I'm cold, I need this, I need that, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. How we feel emotionally, I feel sad, I feel happy, I feel good, I feel It goes on and on and on and on. We're very aware of our needs and our desires, even on the most base level to perhaps very extensive spiritual levels. What I need to understand, what I want to understand. So all of that, if you can just let it come into a place of neutrality. Sometimes it's a good idea when we're in the middle of a very strong place of need or desire or wanting something, or we're on a shopping spree or something like that, when we're really engaged with that very strong desire of want or need, to just perhaps think about something that's very sobering, not something necessarily bad, as I know some people will use that, but just going to something very sobering, like the life of, this is where I go from my tradition, the life of a Tibetan Buddhist nun or monk that only wears one piece of clothing, that has a very simple life, that doesn't have a lot of needs and desires, and eats very minimally and eats very simply, and is not involved with all of the arguments, not involved with all of the various desires, and is very much focused on a life of selflessness. And we can ask, what do the monks and nuns do all day long? What is this life of being shut off from the world of meditation? Well, what these people are doing and what they have sacrificed a normal life for is that they are praying. They are praying all day long for all sentient beings to have no suffering. And what if we, in our very busy lives, all of us are great consumers of things, what if in our life we can just take a few moments a day. Maybe we can make that a bit longer each day, coming up to a few minutes, a few, maybe even up to a 30 minutes or even up to an hour, where we could actually dedicate some of our life, where we could invest some of our time, not just into our own life, but into the lives of all beings everywhere. Where we can use that time of meditation to be literally praying for, and if we don't like to pray, we could just be holding that space of compassion and love for all beings everywhere. Because when we put out this energy, when we put the energy of compassion, of love, of unconditional love at that, of compassion, of loving kindness, we are putting that out into the world without judgment. It's not for a particular thing. It's not for rescued dogs, or it's not for people that are in famine or in war. We are putting it out everywhere, without containers, without labels, without concepts, putting out this frequency, this thought. And as we know, because we are all jewels reflecting each other in Indra's net, we are all rippling every single moment, in every single moment of our waking and sleeping hours, we are putting out our energy into the universe. Let's put out that energy when we're meditating, when we're praying, when we're walking, when we're working, when we're loving, when we're cleaning, when we're bike riding, when we're feeding our puppies, whatever we are doing, let us hold that energy of unconditional love. And whenever we feel those little disturbing thoughts coming up of, I'm getting angry, I'm getting impatient, I'm getting upset, I'm getting, what, getting, let's try and grab that monkey mind. Try and immediately catch ourselves before we go from 0 to 100. And of course, we've all done it a million times. We've been from 0 to 100. But as we evolve, as we learn, as we create, each time we have another opportunity in every moment to alter the future of ourselves, to alter the future of our planet. Our thoughts are making this planet. Our energy is making this planet. And many of the exalted Buddhist teachers have said that the crisis that we are facing in our world, the climate crisis, the crisis of societies in war and famine, the crisis that we see with the different problems in our world, this is all being generated by us as individuals, with our thoughts of anger, or our thoughts of revenge, or our thoughts of greed. So we can contribute as individuals right now in every single moment by catching ourselves saying, well, not going there again. No, I'm choosing to be neutral. I'm choosing to be unconditionally loving. I'm choosing to be selfless. I'm choosing now to express the deepest level of love that I can possibly bring up from the depth of my heart for every single being everywhere in every single situation, whether they have hurt me, whether they have loved me, whether they don't even know me. I am now creating this frequency of love. And I create it from my very, very center of my being that is beyond judgment, beyond concepts. And I send this unconditional love out to all beings everywhere, knowing that it has a ripple effect and knowing that I have in every moment this ability to selflessly care for all beings, for my planet. I have hope. I have faith. And I understand that my love here, my unconditional loving kindness, is effective, is beneficial. Taking a nice deep breath. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you so much, Pam. See you all next week, and love now.
You have been listening to Susie Mazzoli and Pamela Cuccinell of ActiveSpirituality.life. If you've enjoyed this program, consider a donation. You can find the link for that, ActiveSpirituality.life. Regardless, we look forward to having you join us again for next week's podcast. Please share and have a great week.